I'm Tony DeLangel, and welcome to the Gonstead Unfiltered Podcast. Everything that happens to you is because of you. Now, this was ingrained into my mind by some of my mentors. There's Bedros Koulian, Steve Eckert, Ray Kerr. These are some of the instructors that took me through the project a couple of years ago now. And that has stayed with me up until this point, and it's always going to stay with me. But my life, my marriage, my kids, my business, my patients, all of these different things, I am the responsibility. So good morning, everybody, and I want to welcome you to the Gonstead Unfiltered Podcast. Today we have a good one, and this just kind of came up on me yesterday. I got some pretty good stories to tell, and we're going to talk about it today, but some life lessons I learned when I went through that process of the project that carried me through into life, and it just kind of helps me relay this message on with my kids and with our patients. But let me explain a little bit about what happened at the project. Basically, this is a process where they break you down physically, mentally, emotionally, where you're forced to face your demons in your life. The things that are in your life that kind of hold you back, you're forced to face those. They break you down, and then eventually they build you back up as long as you don't quit, as long as you don't ring that bell. And during this time, one of two things happen. You either quit, or you figure out how to flip the switch. And when I'm talking about flipping the switch, what I'm talking about is you get to this point in life where you just realize nothing is going to stop you. No matter what it is, nothing is going to stop you. And that's the whole purpose behind the project. The reason why I did this is it was the same thing. It was like there's certain things that we just don't know what we don't know. You know, there's certain things. I would say that 2% of everything that you know, you know you know. Then maybe you have another 2% where it's like, okay, you know that you don't know that information. But what about the other 96%? That's the information that you don't even know that you don't know. And as we continue to strive through life and look at life, the more we can find that information, the more we evolve, the more we have, the more we know, the more successful we become. So again, you have two choices. You can either quit or you can flip the switch and figure out that nothing is going to stop you. The only thing that's going to stop you is you, no matter how hard things get. So the reason why I share that with you guys is because just recently, just yesterday, my third child, who's my second son, I have four kids, and he's 9 years old. He's in this age right now where he's in this transitional age. And so let me explain something that happens here. In a healthy marriage, and I am going to say a healthy marriage, what ends up happening is the father organically starts to pull the child, the son, away from his mother, not intentionally or deceitfully or anything like that, but he starts to pull the son away from his mother, and he teaches him how to become a man. You see this in a lot of different other cultures. Sometimes they'll, act like they're kidnapping the son, and they take the son away, and the son has to fight off whoever the kidnapper was, and then he has to return back to the family. They stage that as a way to say, okay, welcome to manhood. You just learned how to become a man. There's other ways to do that. So for women, you know, I have two young girls too. And so for women, they go through this natural process where they go through, they have their menstrual cycle. And that's kind of like that transition where a young girl transitions into womanhood. Well, boys don't have that. Young boys don't have that. So they really do have to rely on their fathers to guide them. And there may be some women out there, I'm sorry, ladies, but if you're saying, I'm sorry, I don't need a man, yes, you do, okay? I'm going to tell you right now, yes, you do. There's certain things that men should be teaching their young boys on how to be men. There's certain things that young boys go through that women will never experience. Just like there's certain things that women can do that men cannot, okay? That's why a man and woman are equally yoked. This is what makes them such a great union, okay? There's certain things, I'll tell you right now, that my wife does as far as compassion and empathy and patience with the children that I don't have. and I need to rely on her for those. Well, she needs to rely on me when it comes to discipline and structure and order. And, you know, I'm the type of person that if I need to teach our kids something, I'm going to teach them and I'm going to make a big deal out of it one time, so that way it never happens again. Okay. And so this was kind of one of those moments. My son is getting into this age. You could tell he's about to go through a growth spurt. But he's still kind of like in that stage where it's like, okay, now it's time to kind of transition him into developing him how to be a man. So I said, okay, you know what, Teo, come on over here. We're going to go work out today. I take him through a workout. And just to keep it simple, this is kind of what we did. We were doing push-ups and we were doing these pull-ups, not like chin-ups, but we were doing these pull-ups with these straps. And it was almost like a reverse row where he was rowing up towards the ceiling. And we go through this point and, you know, this is one of those things where he starts doing push-ups, but he wasn't going all the way down. Now, I remember specifically I was at the project, and if our toe or if our heels weren't touching during a push-up, if our chest didn't touch the ground during a push-up, it didn't count. And the more you did that, the more you were just beating yourself up. So it's like they didn't count it. So I did the same thing with my son because I knew mentally it would mess him up. And I was intentionally trying to mess him up mentally, okay? This is where learning how to become a man is so important. So he's doing these push-ups and he's going halfway. I said, doesn't count, do it again. He'd go a little bit lower. Doesn't count, do it again. He would just keep doing it. He probably went through about 20 or 30 and I was like, doesn't count, do it again. We're starting over. We're doing this. I'm intentionally trying to do this to break him down. Okay. So finally he's getting to the point where he's just shaking. Like he's shaking to the point he can barely hold himself up. And this is kind of where I knew I had to get him. Okay. And I could see he was starting to tear up. Again, all with intention. I said, keep going, keep going. Finally, I get him to the point where he did 5 perfect push-ups. At this point, like he was just completely gassed out. And we had to take some breaks in between. But finally, he gets to 5 perfect push-ups and we stop. We probably got to, I would say, pretty close to 100. So you could imagine as a 9-year-old boy, number one, how long does it take a 9-year-old to do 100 push-ups to the point where like just completely drenched in sweat, right? Completely drenched in sweat already, has tears in his eyes. He's shaking. And now we get to the pull-ups. Now, going through the project, I remember the mind games. It's like, if you thought that last evolution was hard, just wait till you get to this. And I think that you're going to fail. Like mentally, they are getting to you, okay? So I was doing the same thing with my son. So we get to the pull-ups. And he got through, I don't know, maybe about 50. And he starts crying. Like he's shaking. He's just completely exhausted. And he's crying. And that's it. I knew I had him. This is exactly where I wanted to get him. This was the perfect moment. Okay. So as he's going through this, I said, stop. Why are you crying? Well, this is hard. Literally, that's what he said. This is hard. And that's when I opened up. This is the part where I swear this gives me goosebumps even today. Like every single time I did this with my older son, I'm doing this with my younger son. This is the part I really enjoy about being a father. And what's funny is before I was even a chiropractor, I was a strength and conditioning coach. And I think what makes you a great coach is not what you're getting people to do. It's the mental games and the mental buildup and breakdown that you can do with your players, that you can do with your children, that makes you a good coach. Because at first they hate you because you're gonna break them down, right? You gotta break them down. This is needed. I'm not talking about putting kids into the corner and saying go sit in timeout anymore. Because when the world hits you in the face, they're not gonna tell you go sit in the freaking corner. You got to learn how to deal with adversity. And the part that drives me nuts nowadays, even with sports, you know, sports used to be this great avenue that you could put your kids in so that way they could learn how to overcome adversity. They could learn how to work within a team. They can learn how to communicate as a team. They can learn how to communicate as a leader and structure their day and deal with failure and deal with pain and learn how to work within a team in a safe manner. Because that's life. Well, nowadays they have this transfer portal garbage and all this other stuff where kids say, oh, I got my feelings hurt. I'm just going to leave the school and go to the next place. We're not teaching any type of adversity anymore. So your first teachers in life should be your parents. And that's what this all came down to. So my son is in tears. This is hard. I said, excuse me? What? This is hard? I said, look at me. And that's when he stopped. He turned to me. I said, no, get up. Look me in the face. He gets up. He's just tears running down his face. I said, you're my son. I said, my sons are going to dominate this world. My sons are going to know what success means. My sons are going to know how to overcome adversity. My sons are going to be tough as iron, strong as iron. You're my son. I said, you're going to do that. This isn't hard. I said, one day you're going to have your own wife and your own kids. You're going to have your own family and they're going to depend on you. And when you're sitting there crying, you think that they're going to be okay with that? When life punches you in the face, are you going to sit there and cry? Because I'll tell you this right now, nobody is coming to save you. Nobody cares. You are responsible for getting out of this mess. So what are you going to do? Get back down. So he gets back down and he starts doing these push-ups or the pull-ups again. He's doing the pull-ups. And again, you can still see him. He's like trying to control this. So during this time, if you ever hear a kid cry or whatever the case is, it's like they can't control their breath. So they're like, you know, they're like gasping for air. So again, like this is all part of the process. I said, learn to control your breath in moments like this. Learn to control it. Breathe in through your nose, out through the mouth. In through the nose, out through the mouth. And I'm literally guiding him like this, okay? So he starts to learn that. And so he goes through 10 sets or 10 reps, and then he goes back down. He rests for like, I give him like 30 seconds rest. And during this time, I'm still talking to him about all this stuff. You're going to have people dependent upon you. You're going to have failure all the time. You're going to have adversity hit you in life. You're going to have loss. You're going to have catastrophe. You're going to have all these things happen to you. And guess what? Nobody's coming to save you. And when I was going through all this with him, like you can still see he was like, I said, control your breath. So, you know, my older son is like in another room, but he's like listening in. So I go, do it again. So he starts doing more reps and you can tell like it's getting harder. He's shaking. It's getting harder. He probably went through about 120, maybe even 150 pull-ups. But towards the end, I'm talking him through as he's doing these pull-ups. Life is going to hit you in the face. Do it. Pull up. Adversity is going to punch you in the face. You're going to have failure. You're going to have a wife. You're going to have kids. You're going to have a son that you're going to have to do this to. What are you going to do? Right? And just telling him all this. And all of a sudden, you started to see his eyes go from sorrow to complete determination. And that's flipping the switch. He knew at that point, I could have had him do another 200. It wouldn't matter. He flipped the switch and he realized no one's coming to save him. He is responsible for everything that's happening right now. And he has the power and control to change his circumstances. It gave me goosebumps. Because this is the part, like, as far as coaching, as far as being a father, as far as being a parent, this is some of the stuff that you have to take young boys through to learn how to be men. But you got to do it in a way where the kid knows that you love him and you're doing this for a reason. So when I said, you're my son, you're going to conquer this world. You're going to dominate this life. You're going to beat adversity. You're going to be as strong as iron. Nothing is going to stop you. You're my son. When I kept saying, you're my son, that's when all of a sudden that flip switched. That's when it switched. And it was so cool. It was like the coolest thing. What sucks about this entire scenario is he's my last son. So this is my last opportunity to do something like this. But to go from sorrow to determination as a 9-year-old boy, how much more could you do for your children? It was the best moment. So after the workout, it was funny. We went back inside. And once he was done, I put my hands on his shoulder. I said, look me in the eye. I said, come here. I said, I'm proud of you. That's how you overcome adversity. And you got better from it. I said, it's going to suck either way. You're going to get broken down either way. It's going to be painful either way. So you might as well get a reward from it. And so he looked at me. He fell asleep shortly after that. And then, you know, my wife came home later on and he goes, "Mom, you're not going to believe what I just went through." He goes, "I went through the hardest workout. I'm so sore right now." And so this morning he wakes up and I said, "Hey, how you doing?" And he's like, "Oh man, I'm so sore." I said, "Man, you look stronger though." And he goes, "I feel stronger." And the cool part about this was as soon as he said that, my older daughter, okay, my older daughter, who's older than my younger son now, she's my second child. She comes up to me. She goes, "Dad, can I work out with you today?" And it was the coolest thing. So in the moment, like my wife has learned that in those moments, just to leave me be, she knows I love the children and my purpose is to raise the boys to be men. And so going through this time, all my wife says is, "You know what? I trust you. I know you're doing this for the right reason. Have at it," right? And so it was cool to see that. But my daughter was like, "Dad, can I work out with you tonight?" And I was like, "Yeah, of course." So the reason why I say that is because, and I share this with you guys, is because we're not that much different from as we become adults, okay? We're not much different than that whole story. It's funny because my daughter wanted to be part of something inspiring, right? She wanted to be part of something where she felt like she was going to move forward with something in life and she wanted to deal with that pain or she wanted to deal with that suffering because she's like, "You know what? I want a challenge." What I think, and this is my personal opinion, is I don't think that death is like the greatest tragedy in this life. I think a wasted life is. I really do. I really think a wasted life with no purpose, no challenges, no adversity, I think that is like the biggest waste of life. That's like the worst thing that can happen to you. So I think that people innately, what they do is they strive towards challenges. They want challenges because that's what makes life challenging and fun at all at the same time. It gives you purpose. And the reason why I say that we're not that much different as adults is because just recently what we do is we have these bell ringings in our office. So when a patient has success and they graduate from care, they did everything that we asked them to do, they got that piece of their life back that they've been looking for, then at the very end of their care plan, what we do is we stop everything in the office, everything. All team members get to the front of the office. All patients get to the front of the office. And so this last time we had this one case where this lady, sometimes your biggest form of gratitude and success is having others speak about their experiences in the office, right? And so that's what this lady did. She said so many nice things about our team. She said so many nice things about how this whole process works. You have to trust the process and how it really works and how like she's not in any pain anymore. She got that piece of her life back that she was looking for. She rang the bell. And it was like the coolest thing because what I do in those moments is as the patient is talking, I look around. I look around not only to our team members, because you can actually see this in our team members' faces. What happens is they are inspired. They are fulfilled because the joy of seeing a patient when they're smiling like that, they're graduating from care, they got that piece of their life back that they've been looking for. Some of our team members tear up and that brings so much joy. That's what keeps us going. I love bell ringing moments because patients are the ones that inspire us at that point. But then I also look around to other patients in the office. This just happened to be a really busy day. I don't know. We probably had maybe 10, 15 people in the waiting room. And as this lady's speaking, I'm looking around to all the patients. And literally, there's patients in tears. And right after this, I had to see one patient. And he comes to me and he says, "Man," he goes, I really want to ring that bell. I really want to ring that bell." And I went straight back into coaching mode, straight back into father mode, right? And this is where, again, it's like you get back into that mode. And I said, "Well, listen to me. Everything that happens to you is because of you. And you have the power and control to change your circumstances." And he looked at me and he kind of got teary-eyed. And I said, "I'm not here to coddle you. I'm not here to say everything's going to be okay. I'm not here to tell you that this is going to happen tonight." Because most people, what happens is most people want 10-year success today. And that doesn't happen, guys. Like there's no way that that's going to happen. Anything that's worth waiting for, anything that is like, that's going to bring joy in your life is going to take time. And if you don't have the patience for something like that, if you're looking for, you know, short-term success, if you will, that doesn't exist. And you're just going to end up disappointing yourself. And I told him all this stuff. I said, you got a long way to go. You know, you're 60 years old. You've spent your whole life breaking your body down. Now we got to do whatever it takes to get you back. And you're going to suffer. You're going to be sore. You're going to be tired. And guess what? Nobody feels sorry for you. And he's looking at me like, what are you talking about? I said, nobody feels sorry for you. You are responsible for yourself. And so I'm saying all this stuff, but what I'm doing is I'm trying to get him to flip the switch mentally, right? So I'm like, you are going to suffer. You are going to be in pain. You are going to be tired. You are going to think that from time to time, this isn't working or whatever the case is. And only you are going to be the one that either quits or flips the switch. Which one do you want to do? And as I talk to him, you can see a lot in people's eyes, right? Especially with patients. But this is the fun part with coaching, is that when they go from sorrow to determination, he's like, you're right. You're right. And I love it when patients get to that point, because nothing is going to stop them. Nothing. And so again, he wanted to be part of something inspiring. He wanted to be up there ringing the bell and being an inspiration for all of our patients. So I share this with you guys because, again, I want you guys to understand that everything in your life is directly from your decisions that you made up to that point. So when are you going to flip that switch? That's my question. When are you going to flip the switch in your life to make a change for the better? I need to get something to drink. When are you going to realize that nobody's coming to save you? When are you going to realize that nobody is going to feel sorry for you? You are directly responsible for everything that happens in your life, and that gives you the power and control to change your circumstances. Period. When are you going to realize that you're not a victim? And again, guys, I share this with you because you are directly responsible for everything in your life up to this point. Every decision you made up to this point is because of you. So if you're suffering with pain, so what? What are you going to do about it? If you're struggling in life, so what? What are you going to do about it? I want to share this with you guys because you were built for abundance. You were built for joy. You were built for purpose. But it's up to you to go get it. No one's coming to save you. No one's going to feel sorry for you. So if you're hanging out with people who are constantly pulling you down, constantly making you feel sorry for yourself, constantly making you feel like you're the victim, run. Get away from those people. They don't care. You know, there's a whole crab in the bucket mentality. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but if you ever seen a bunch of crabs in a bucket, right when one crab is about to pull itself out of the bucket and get out, another crab, you'll always see this, grabs that crab and pulls it back down. So if your friends, your family, your loved ones, it doesn't matter. If they're that crab in the bucket that's constantly trying to pull you back down with them, run. Find a way to get them out of your life. Because I can tell you this, catastrophe will always hit. Loss will always hit. Grievance will always hit. Pain and suffering will always hit. That's part of life. What are you going to do? Are you going to make a permanent decision on a temporary emotion? Or are you going to flip the switch and go get the life that you deserve? We're here to help you, folks. We're here to guide you. But you have to have the discipline and accountability to go get it. So, folks, I hope this helped. I hope this shared some joy and some purpose in your life. If it did, we just ask that you please share this with others. This is what helps this podcast grow. This is what helps us get our purpose out. And again, we're here to change the way healthcare is delivered so people don't have to suffer anymore. So if you or your family or your loved ones are suffering, I just ask that you please share this so we can make a difference in their lives. We'll see you next time, folks. Take care.